Hey everybody, it's Caddy. You're in the June Cafe. We're just squeezing in there because the man has been so busy. And my favorite, well, yeah, probably my favorite June baby, Nick Rhodes, is in the cafe with me. He looks so cute in a little white cat baseball cap today. Welcome to the cafe, Nicholas. I like that hat. Can I have one? It's very
It's actually
nifty.
a Surjoff hat, and I'm very fond of it too. It's not white though. It's
Beige,
no good
tan.
grief, no. Since when have I ever worn beige? No, it's ivory. But there you go. Anyway, Catherine, what's going on?
Nicholas, have you ever owned any khaki pants?
No, of course not.
No.
Why would I do that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe when you were like 12, you had to dress up and go somewhere, and your mother put you in khaki pants.
You wouldn't have done that to me.
No, we match. Our shirts absolutely match today. We're both wearing like a light blue tur not tur aqua, light
Light
blue.
blue, is it, Catherine? It's turquoise.
Turquoise. I was going to say turquoise, but I didn't know if people use that word anymore. So, postcard from the road with Nick Rhodes. How's it going out there on this tour, bud?
I'd have to say we're all feeling rather good about it.
Yeah.
The shows have been great. Audiences have been amazing. We were a little worried, I have to confess, for one show when Simon had a little bit of a sore throat when we were in Antwerp, which was unfortunate. He got through the show and the show was great. The audience were amazing there. But for sure, he was suffering a little with his throat. But since then, he's back up to full power. We've been enjoying the set list. We moved things around a little bit. We added in Night Runner and All She Wants Is. It's all been good. The weather has been crazy hot in a few places. They're nearly all outdoor shows. I think it was 32 degrees when we went on stage in Milan the other evening.
So that would be 32. Is that like 82 degrees in America in
I
Celsius?
don't know. I gave up on all those things and all that sort of
I
stuff
think.
from the 17th century and inches and miles. I think we have to move on, Catherine. We have to move on. I mean, we try to move backwards sometimes, like moving out of Europe. How ridiculous was that? But hey, I'd
Let me
move
ask you
forward.
a question. When it's that warm out, do you have a little fan by your, do you guys have fans on stage at all?
No, only in the audience. We don't.
Clever you. You're such a clap.
Boom, boom, boom,
You know,
boom.
I texted you the last week during a show to see if you'd answer. Did you read the
I
answer?
know. I, well, one, I don't take my phone on stage unless I've forgotten my camera, and then I take it to take pictures. But no, I have too much to concentrate on. The last thing I want to be
Focus.
doing is checking my email. I wouldn't be happy doing that or comfortable.
So I did notice that you've gone to a lot of pretty great places, museums and exhibits. Tell us, we've seen some great pictures from Gavin, but what have you been able to see that you wouldn't necessarily have seen had you not been on tour?
I've always loved visiting museums wherever I go if I can find the time. And on this one, we've really scheduled it in.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to see the Caravaggio show in Rome, which was a real highlight. 24 Caravaggio paintings in one exhibition is unprecedented. Everybody went from the band. Actually, did Roger come with us? I'm not sure Roger came, but John and Simon and I certainly went. That was really a treat. But I saw lots of things. Yesterday, I went to see, oh, yesterday or the day before, I went to see Leonor Finney's show in Milan at Palazzo Reale. That's now finished. I think it finishes today.
Oh, wow.
But she's one of my favorite female painters, surrealist, rather special. Again, a fantastic fantastic gathering of works, because I've never seen that many together before. So whoever put it together, curated it, did a wonderful job. And she's really underrated, I think. So yeah, saw that when we were in Amsterdam. We went to the Van Gogh Museum, and we also went to the Rijksmuseum, which were both magnificent. So we've been culturally spoilt.
Seriously, I tell you know, I've shared with you, my sister shares your love for museums and exhibits, and I share what you guys are doing, and she wants to come in a suitcase
Well,
next
I have to
time.
say, but you know, Italy is full of so many beautiful things. We also saw the Dolce and Gabbana show, which I should mention, I was blown away by. I've always been a fan of what they've done. I love that Sicilian element and their opulence. But the show really had a lot of stuff I'd never seen, some of their couture pieces, and yeah, that's really worth a look if it's still on
I
for a
think
while.
that's limited. Yeah. We got
That's it.
actually a note to send to us inviting you, and that's very nice because you might not have
No,
known
it's very
about it.
nice of them. They were great, and the show is really special. And that's coming to New York too, that same show. So you'll get to see it
Well, I'll tell my sister to see it.
if you bother to see it, which you should. It was really, really special.
Who should see it?
You should. A little
Oh.
fashion would do good, Catherine.
You know, they say that skips a generation, right? So you knew Lois. She's very fashionable, right? Lois was fabulous.
Yeah, very
And
chic.
then what's
So what
that?
happened to you, Catherine? So what happened to you then, Catherine?
Lost. And then Hayden is so into fashion and into
Oh.
clothing and into looking nice. It just skipped me.
Oh, that's good.
I'm still
Yeah.
cute, though, in my own Muppet-esque way.
Of course you are, Catherine. That wasn't
I'm
how
just
this.
not fashionable. So wait, one of the gentlemen from Dolce and Gabbana, tell me their names again, and I'll know. What are their names, the gentlemen?
Oh, Domenico and Stefano.
Stefano posted something the day after you went to his exhibit.
Oh,
Isn't
did
that
he? That's
nice?
nice.
And
Oh, you
yes,
know
and
what?
I
I
shared it.
Well, you know, we've had quite a long history with them on and off. We did some things for them sometime in the 90s, and then actually they were in our Girl Panic video.
Well,
They're
that's what
obviously
he
very,
posted about.
obviously they're very close to the girls, and we've seen some of their shows. And anyway, I think hats off to them. It's really good, very impressive.
Now, how, and you said the shows have been good, and you're going to places that you haven't gone in a long time. Like you played in Barrie, and it was the first time since 1987, and you played in Finland, was the first time in a very long time. So how has the response been to with the audiences that haven't gotten to see you in so much time?
I don't think we could have ever asked for a better response. But we're lucky like that. Our audiences
You are
are
lucky.
passionate about being there, and they come out wanting to have a great time, and we go in wanting to give them the best time we can, and it seems to work out.
Any surprises? I know you said Night Runner and all she wants is, but any surprise? Have you been surprised at all by their response to any songs like, whoa, they really love Evil Woman, or whoa, they really love hearing All She Wants Is Again?
I'm not so much surprised by things. Our audiences have amazing energy in this heat. I think one of the highlights of the show, especially for outdoor performances, is always sunrise. There's
Yes.
something about that when everybody reaches up for that sunrise that looks so great, and everybody looks happy. And that's in this world, if you can look happy even for a few minutes, that's a good thing.
Moving along, I caught a video that you made about Pop Trash, and I'd like you to give us a little more information. You know, the cafe is all about scoops. So is there going to be a documentary? Is there going to be a a box set, or are you just hoping there will be?
I always try to be as realistic and truthful as I possibly can. And as I said in the little clip, we have more than enough material for a box
Okay.
set. I think that it would be an interesting one because you can almost see the genesis of the project and directions we were struggling, where to go and how it landed, where it did, different versions of songs. There is most certainly enough interesting material for both Medazzaland and Pop Trash
Wow.
to do box sets. I'm guessing Medazzaland will probably be before Pop Trash, but since we were talking about the Pop Trash album, I mentioned that there is definitely other material which I don't mind going out because having listened to it a little, there's some interesting ideas. They're more like preparatory drawings than finished paintings. And I rather like that. So I think that's possible. Regarding the Pop Trash film, we took Andrew Day on tour with us in
I remember.
1999. We went all over America. Regarding the film of Pop Trash, there is 70 hours shot by the remarkable Andrew Day, all handheld, one camera. Goodness knows what. I suspect lots of bits of corners of rooms and floors and but amongst all of that, there will be some really interesting moments as a time capsule from that period. So having seen some of it recently for the first time in 20 years, I thought it might actually make an interesting part of the jigsaw puzzle, part of the story. And it will be something that fans that joined us around that unusual time might enjoy. So I would like to see it happen very much. Whether it will happen, I don't want to promise because I hate breaking promises, but I think there's a fair chance we could make something good out of it. So if there's enough demand and people would like to see it.
Well, I think that you're right that it is part of a puzzle of Duran Duran, so it deserves attention. It hasn't always gotten a lot of attention, so I think people would definitely be interested. I don't know if you saw, but Rolling Stone did a piece called The 50 Best 10th Albums by a Band. Did you see this? It was
No,
such an
I
awesome.
don't see anything like that, but tell me.
Well, Pop Trash came in at 48. That's
Oh,
pretty
wow.
good. Yeah.
Smashing in at number 48.
But
Well,
still,
that's nice it's in there.
hey, that, I think that's great. And it
If
said
only it had been number 47, damn it.
it's a, no, but it said that it's a very divisive album amongst fans. But it was, they gave a lot of credit to Warren. I'll have
I
to
would give a
send
lot
it
of
to
credit
you.
to Warren too.
They
I
did.
love Warren. I think Warren is a super creative guitarist, an amazing musician. He made me laugh more than most people in my life, and I'm enormously fond of him and his contributions to Duran Duran. Duran Duran would not still be around if it wasn't for Warren, and that always needs to stay in perspective. And he played amazing things on all the records with us. And Medazzaland and Pop Trash, obviously at that point, John's on some of Medazzaland, but then it was down to Warren, Simon, and I. So it was a very different lineup, very different feeling. Pop Trash is undoubtedly the black sheep of our catalogue. But there's things on there that I really, really like. And I think time will treat it with good grace. It's never going to be like the first few albums when you're putting in all that youthful energy. But as a creative art project, I think it worked pretty well.
I would not poo-poo the number 48 on the Rolling Stone list because I don't think I lived in a world that I thought Midazolam, I'm sorry, Pop Trash would ever be recognized at all in that capacity. So I think it's amazing it made the list. It was with the Beatles and the Rolling
Oh,
Stones and the
that's nice.
Beach Boys, Led Zeppelin. I don't know. It was pretty.
Listen, I'm not ungrateful. What I mean is that I never really look at charts and awards and things in that way. I'm always very grateful to receive them, but it's not about that for me. It's about what did we do? What were we able to create between us? And then it is what it is. But yes, it's cool. It's interesting that people are still referring to the record and that some people somewhere are even listening to it.
Yeah, I gave it a listen the other day and I liked it. And what about this greatest has come out in everywhere but North America, all over Europe it, on this white vinyl that looks pretty hot. Have you gotten a copy yet? I need to get a copy.
No, but I oversaw the whole thing. Obviously, when they want to do re-releases of things, I'm always in two minds about it because I think all our vinyl should be available for anyone who wants it on vinyl. So I'm sort of overseeing with the rest of the band, of course, that we make sure it's mastered properly and that they've used all the correct versions and that the artwork is at least as good, if not better, than the original artwork. And so, from that point of view, I'm happy it's out there, but it's really making it available for me rather than trying to sell it as any kind of new product. I'm sure a lot of our fans that wanted that when it came out have got it already, and if some new people are interested in getting it, then great. But I think things should be available on every format for those who want them. We live in a world of convenience where we just mostly press a button and stream something now. But actually, I like product too. I know it takes up space. I know that there's things about it, plastic, things you shouldn't be doing in this day and age, but there's a lot worse out there. And vinyl particularly is still my personal favorite format. I've said it many, many times. That's what sounds the closest to what we do in the studio. When we leave the studio and
Right.
we've listened to the final mixes, it doesn't matter. You can have it at whatever quality you want from any of the streaming services. It's never going to be quite the same as if you get really great quality vinyl and play it with a great system. It's got a different atmosphere. So for all those vinyl enthusiasts out there, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think I texted you last night that I had a bunch of young people at my house, and I always like to talk to them about music. And one friend that was over of Tanner's buys everything on vinyl. And I said,
Yeah.
"Where do you get your vinyl?" And he said, "Barnes and Noble." And I went, "Oh, it hurt
Yeah.
me to hear that." And I said, "Can't
Wow.
you go into the city? Aren't there, can't you even go to eBay?" I said, "Y getting it maybe used might be a little cooler than buying it at Barnes and Noble." But anyway, I was so happy that,
Hey, I think it's great that Barnes and Noble is stocking vinyl. How amazing.
yeah, well,
I wish there was Tower Records. I wish there
me
were,
too. That's what I
Virgin
mean.
Records, all those amazing shops that we used to have. There's so few left now. There's still that great one in Los Angeles, Amoeba, which actually I
Oh,
believe it
yeah.
started in San Francisco. And that's what vinyl stores should be like. I mean, I really miss that. I was lucky to grow up in an age where vinyl was thriving.
No, me and you both. I mean, I was in the cassette era, but vinyl was cool. So I like to think that I have my proximity to New York City made me a little cooler and I was able to go to stores and get vinyl, but anyway, what did you do, Nicholas, for your birthday this year? Because unlike John, you didn't have a show day birthday. So I'm just
No,
curious if you had a nice birthday.
Yeah, I had a very nice birthday. We just had a little dinner with everyone in the band, really, and a couple of my friends that were in Antwerp. That was it. But it was, I had it in a tiny little chapel, which was nice, with lots of candles and peonies
Sounds like a
and.
very Nick Rhodes birthday.
Well, yeah, it was very nice, low key, and it was elegant, I hope. So that was nice, and it was a shame it wasn't on a show day in some ways, because actually it's fun having it on a show day. I was so thrilled to hear the audience singing "Happy Birthday to John" in Milan. It was kind of amazing, because there was a lot of them, and I was so impressed with how in tune they were as well. I guess these Italians, it's born opera singers. It was great, and he was Johnny was very happy, and it's fun just being able to play a show on your birthday, because it's that sort of adrenaline that you get, and the happiness of seeing people having such a great time.
That's so nice. I love that. Now, I can't let you go. I cannot let you go until I ask you to give us any scoop, a little scoop of what was happening recently in the studio with Nile Rodgers. Any scoop?
I think I can give you one scoop of vanilla and one of pistachio, as it's called here. When we did the sessions for Black Moonlight a couple of years ago, we did another track which we'd started with Nile, but everything starts as a jam, and I love Niall's guitar riff, as I usually do, and what we were all playing around it. John had played a killer bass line, and Roger's drums were more, almost more like early hip hop dance music, electro, sort of early 80s. I don't know, it just sounded really different. And I hadn't forgotten the track, and I'd been pushing and pushing, saying, "I think we should do this one. I think we should do it." And so John loved the idea, and we put it in some shape and then worked on it some more. Simon got excited by it as well and came up with a lyric for it quite quickly,
Wow.
which was great. It's a bonus. It's
What a
not quite
treat.
that for him, I think, when there's only one. It's not like a to climb. It doesn't seem so overwhelming. But he came up with a lyric that I think is very poignant for now, meaning, again, with the horror in the world, you need things to lift people's spirits, and it's very much that in the way that many of our earlier songs have been. And so then we were at a certain point where we just want to make a few final decisions. And I said, "I think we should send it to Niall." And John said, "Yeah, I agree. Let's do that." So we sent it back to Niall and said, "What do you think?" And he completely fell in love with the track, "Wow, yes, I'd forgotten how great this was." And he loved his guitar riff, which I understand, because he's pretty good at that. And so he wanted to do some more work on it. He did a bit of work, and then we spent a day together in London in the studio, actually in Abbey Road. Which I hadn't been to for many years, so that was quite good fun. Walking past all the Beatles fans outside, posing on the zebra crossing. There's always one that's forgotten his socks. So we did that day and pretty much finished it. Redid a few things, tweaked a few things, put a couple of new parts on it. Our girls are on it. Rachel and Emma are singing. And so it's gone off to be mixed, and we are imminently awaiting a finished product to arrive in the next, I don't know, 24, 48 hours to have a listen to. So then we've got to decide whether we can manage to get it out really quickly this year, or whether to keep it for a little longer. But it's quite a summer song, so we're a little late already, but if we could do it quickly, then that's what I would do.
Just put it out, like no rhyme or reason, right?
Whatever, right? I don't know. Just sometimes it's nice to live in a world where you can believe in spontaneity instead of everything having to be planned so much, but it's a good one. So I look forward to putting it out whenever it is.
That was amazing scoop on the Nile front, and I can't wait to hear it. And what just was announced today, which is incredible, is you're bringing the Halloween show to Manchester. Is that the truth?
Of
A
course, it's the truth,
UK
Catherine.
Halloween? I can't.
Exactly. Well, we'd done two in America,
Yeah.
and we felt that it was important to bring the show to Europe. Halloween, I have to say, is not celebrated in quite the same way in Europe as it is in America, where it's
Shame.
a big holiday and certainly my favorite holiday of the year. But we're rather hoping that people come from wherever they are going to travel from to the show, and of course, all the inhabitants of Manchester that attend, and that they realize that you must get into the spirit of Halloween and look utterly ghastly for the evening. Otherwise, it won't be quite right. So we're thrilled to be doing it in the UK. It's a great new venue in Manchester, apparently. Not been there yet, but we're all really pleased. And I think it's strategically the right place in Britain as well, because Manchester is not quite in the middle. Birmingham is actually more in the middle, but it's only a little bit more north, and there's great transport to get in, trains, flights. Everything into Manchester, and I think it's turned into an incredible city. It really has. When I think about what it was like when we were starting out to what it is now, it's a fantastic transformation. So yeah, we're really happy to be bringing this show, and I should make clear that it is not a traditional Duran Duran show. It is a
Right.
one-off, well, an annual one-off show that is much more themed, with a lot of different songs that we do not play during our other shows in the year. So if you're looking for a greatest hits show, this one is not for you. But if you're looking for a slightly creepy, off the wall, unpredictable, fabulous Halloween celebration, then you must come along.
I love it. In costume. Come along in costume.
Please do. We encourage you to dress as inappropriately as possible.
Excellent. Well, Nicholas, I can't thank you enough for your time today. We'll see you back in the cafe. What are we in? We're in June, July, August, September, October, November. I think it might be November. So I won't see you for a while, but I love talking to you. You always give us just that little bit of extra cafe scoop, and we appreciate it. Like an extra scoop of coffee or something in your cafe drink.
The chocolate one, I guess. That extra scoop, isn't it? That's the dangerous one.
Extra scoop. Have a great rest of the tour, and and keep sending us those pictures and videos of your travels throughout the tour, because they're so fun to see behind the scenes what you guys are doing.
All right, Catherine. Well, have a lovely holiday. And to everyone else listening, you all have a great time too. Or you all, if you're in Texas. Bye, Catherine.
Hi, Nicholas.